Welcome to episode 14 of the Connected Kingdom podcast, connecting truth with life in a digital world. And welcome to yet another edition of the Connected Kingdom podcast. I'm Tim Challies. I'm your host, and I'm here with my co-host, David Murray. That's Dr. David Murray to you. I think he's the only guy I know who does a podcast wearing a tie. How are you today, David?
I'm not wearing my tie today, actually, and the only reason you know that is because the Skype video came on one day. Thankfully, I was wearing something.
And we're grateful for that. Yeah, a couple times now we've gone to do podcasts and you've had the video going, and every time you've done that, you've been wearing a tie, but I'll assume you're going to do something more important after recording the podcast. Now, today we want to talk about reading. We had a suggestion in from a reader of this show, for which we were grateful, and he asked a good question. It was about how to get children reading. He had been reading along, I guess, in the Reading Classics Together I'm doing, where we're talking about Charles Spurgeon, who was reading the Puritans while he was still in diapers, I think. By age 3 or 4, he was already really reading really, really solid material, so that by the time he was 17 and pastoring a church, he was just totally immersed in really good literature and really good Christian classics. And his question then was, how do we get our kids reading? And how do we get them reading good stuff? So David and I want to talk about that a little bit today. Now, David, are your kids readers?
They are readers, Tim. I'm thankful. At least 3 of the 4 are. The 2 boys, who are 14 and 12, love reading. The next girl, she's not quite so enthusiastic, but the youngest is really pushing on and loves it. What about your own?
Yeah, same thing. My oldest son reads voraciously. He'll read often a book a day or a book every other day. And my daughter heading into grade 2, so has only just learned to read, but already is enjoying it. And the youngest is only 4, so doesn't read yet, but she does love being read too, and is always bringing us stories. So I think largely, yeah, our kids are readers as well. Now, do you think it's safe to say that, well, you and your wife are both readers, I assume, is that true?
Yes, Tim, but it wasn't always the case. In fact, I think perhaps the most important thing to get your children reading is the education they have. Because when I look back at my own life, when I was growing up, I was educated in an inner city comprehensive. I had a really awful education. The teachers were so badly motivated. The classes were completely disorderly. There was so much bullying in the yard and on the way to and from school. It was just such a terrible environment for learning, and to the extent that I actually got through my whole school career without reading one book from start to finish.
Wow. Yeah, I went to one of those Scottish schools for a year, and I gotta say, I didn't enjoy the Scottish educational system all that much. I wouldn't want to portray the whole thing by the one school I was at, but I found it was also quite rough, and the teachers were not exactly motivated. So.
No, it was such a bad start, Tim. In fact, I really, all I read growing up were the sport pages of the newspaper until I was converted. Mm. And really then, it's almost as if the Lord gave me a new mind. And just an ability to read, a desire to read, a love for reading that was just completely unnatural to me.
Sure.
And so when I see, you know, my own children, my wife educated them and gave them just a very, very traditional education in phonics, you know, building very slowly, etc. And it just made such a difference that it just built from the very foundations an ability to read and a love for reading that has just grown and grown and grown. And I think that's, you can't do anything without that basic foundation.
Right. Yeah, of course. So get them well educated, get them at least able to read and seeing the value of reading. And then I think as well, try to model that as much as you can. I know my wife and I both read constantly or near constantly. I'm more drawn to nonfiction. My wife prefers fiction, but does read other things as well. So in either case, the kids look around on the average evening and they can see at least one of us with a book in hand. And I think just from a young age, it's kind of gotten ingrained into their minds that reading is what you do for fun. Reading is what you do for pleasure and also to build yourself up. They've seen that modeled at church, where at church we often give away books. We often announce books at the front of the of the auditorium, just trying to get people interested in them, trying to get them reading them. We often give them away, and the only stipulation is that if you accept a book, you have to read it. So in all these ways, I think the kids have just seen reading and the importance of reading and the importance of good books modeled, and I think and hope they've picked up from that.
I agree, Tim, and that's one of the things that worries me about my own use of electronic books and reading, say, on the internet. You know, my kids look at me and they see me reading a book on, say, the iPad or reading blogs on my MacBook. And do they see me reading books, or do they just see me, you know, on a games machine, as it were, to them?
Yeah.
And it's something that's been on my mind recently. I think I want to show them more me picking up a physical book, just so that that message is absolutely crystal clear that what I'm doing is reading.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that's a good point. And maybe even using a different device like a Kindle would show them that you're reading, since the iPad is so multifunction. But I think in this day and age, in a digital age, and you know, I've seen that reading cannot compete with the digital. So if you want your kids to read, you're going to have to cut down on their digital stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the lure of computer games for boys is just so overwhelming. And for my daughter, I can see the lure of movies or TV shows or something with a good, engaging story. It absolutely trumps reading in their minds, at least most of the time. So if we want them to read, we've really had to draw those things back. And again, they really do want to read. It's almost just like they can't if faced with decision.
I totally agree, Tim. It's like their own worst enemies, and you feel kind of harsh, you know, and denying them computer games or really limiting their use of the internet. But they are the better for it, and they know it, because I think they do actually enjoy the stimulation of the reading more than the stimulation of the game or the surfing. It's just that the one is much easier than the other.
Absolutely. I think they do enjoy it. And certainly if they're reading nonfiction or reading fiction or even some sort of imaginative nonfiction, I think it gives their minds the ability to go so far and to create such great things. I know when I was a kid, I loved reading stories because I could imagine them and imagine myself in them. Mm-hmm. And it really helped, I think, grow my mind or my imagination a fair bit, and was really good for me. So I spoke to a friend recently who was telling me that his son, who was maybe 6 or 7 at the time, really got into playing too much on the Wii. They had a Wii and didn't really supervise it closely, and he would go in there, and dad looked one day and saw that his son had been playing even 6 or 7 hours a day at times, just slipping away, and people weren't noticing what he was doing. And he noticed that, dad noticed that when his son was doing this, he absolutely lost the ability to play. Before that, he had loved his Thomas the Tank Engine trains and train track, and once he got into the Wii games, suddenly he had no interest for it at all. And as they weaned him back off the Wii, suddenly his attention and his desire to do these other things really grew. So I do think there's a sense in which the real world cannot compete with the digital.
Yes, but you're right, Tim. It really drains their energy, their creative energy, their physical energy, their mental energy. I see that even if, say, we let the kids watch a DVD or something like that, they come down the stairs from where they watch it and they're just kind of slumping around, and they're usually a bit narky and, you know, snippy with one another. You put them outside and they just sit in the steps. Whereas if they hadn't gone and watched that, they would have had a lot more life and enthusiasm around them.
Sure. Yeah, and we do let our kids watch movies. You know, Friday night, we often do a movie night and sit and watch it, and it's great. But I really think moderation is the key.
Yeah,
and again, within the topic of reading, if you want your kids to be readers, I really think you have to cut back the television they watch. People have been saying that for years, but now in this new digital world, we also have to cut back the digital stimulus. So we said, you want your kids to learn how to read and to learn how to read well within a good educational program, and you want to model that. I think another thing you want to do is provide them with good material and varied good material. So with our kids, we'll take them off to the library and we'll take a basket with us and just fill it full of books and let them, you know, that way they can take a bunch, and if they don't want to read them, they don't have to read them. And we'll just let them sort through what they like, what they don't like, and trying to push them a little bit towards things that are of greater interest. So, buying my son little biographies or something, and you know, you can see sometimes he reads it only because I told him to, or sometimes he doesn't want to read it at all. I'm not going to force him to read too much right yet. I just want him to develop the love for reading. So if he wants to read fiction or nonfiction, I'm not that concerned, as long as there's nothing objectionable about it. I just want to see him reading, and I think we can build upon that to work towards reading good things.
Yep, I agree, and we live in such a wonderful time for the production of children's books. So many wonderful Christian authors have been writing as well. I remember growing up when, say Sunday came around and I was not a reader anyway. My mom and dad trying to, make me read it, well motivated, and it seemed like the only books available for young people to read of a Christian nature were books in which missionaries died, or books in which kids died of cancer or leukemia. And these are realities, and we can't deny them, but when that was all there was, it was just a constant diet of rather depressing reading material. And I look now at what's available, and boy, my kids are so privileged. They have such a range of very positive, edifying material, as well as these more sober, serious, realistic books as well. So, yeah, it's great to live in this generation, although it does get a bit expensive.
It can, and that's why I'm glad to have libraries. And as a book reviewer, I do tend to get a lot of stuff in the door that I can handwrite to my kids, so I appreciate that as well. Just
Yeah, that's a bit of a cheat, that, isn't it?
rub that in a little bit, sure. Another thing I think that's useful is to let or to push your children or to let them read things that are just a little bit too difficult for them. That's a good habit to get into yourself. Don't always read what's easy, but read something that's genuinely difficult and will push you to the next level. And I try to do that with my children as well, give them something that will be just a little beyond their ability or their natural ability, but I do think it can push them and just help them to see that reading is, can be a challenge and that the challenge is good. There should be big rewards if you've pushed through. And that's the case now when I want to study theology, I can read the For Dummies version, but sometimes it's good to read something quite difficult that will really stretch my mind.
Yeah, I've done that as well, Tim, but I've always made sure I've interacted with them over it. I haven't just, handed them the tome or the more serious theological book and left them to it. But, maybe after every chapter, I've gone to them and said, right, let's talk about it. Not for long, just 5, 10 minutes, just to, because it's easier for kids to just sit there and say they've read, they've not done anything at all. So
Sure.
just to motivate them to read, to interact with them, not in a threatening, if you don't read this, you're not getting out this week, but just to show them that this is stuff that you can talk about in a very, interesting and edifying way.
Now, do you suggest books to your kids, or do you force your kids to read certain books, or are you happy just to let them read what interests them?
On the whole, we leave them to it. I mean, we don't take them to Barnes and Noble, so they're not going to pick up lots of objectionable material anyway. We've got some great libraries in our churches here. We've got homeschool buildings with tremendous libraries, and we've picked up a lot from Christian publishers and bookshops over the years. So there's plenty of that for them to read. There's great variety. They do tend, obviously, each personality has his own tendency or her own tendency, and you want to you try and push them, as you say, out of their comfort zone a bit. But on the whole, if they're reading, I'm happy, and I don't really want to make it too much of a parental, here's what you should be reading.
Yeah, I agree with that. I tend to try to push them to try and mix things up a little bit. I'm thinking especially of my son since he's older, but he likes fiction, but I like to push him towards some nonfiction, find him something that's boyish and violent and somehow connected to some sort of warfare, and that generally makes him happy and he'll read that as well. And I want to get him a love for, slip in some loves for history or something to do with reality at the same time. Now, do you read aloud to your family? Have you guys gone through books or series together?
I wanted to go back to that, Tim, because really I would put that, actually way back in the process, after, maybe even before getting a good education, when they're 2 and 3 and 4, just really, I really made a quite a strict habit of spending at least 10, 15 minutes every night with them as they went to bed. Reading to them and trying to read with real enthusiasm, putting on the voices, sometimes acting it out, and just making it a really entertaining, happy time. And they really look, if they didn't get the, if they didn't get their bedtime story, it was usually because it was a punishment, and they really looked forward to it. And I find to this day, and maybe my teenager won't thank me for this, but hopefully won't listen to this. Even to this day, they ask me, usually on a Sunday afternoon, Dad, can you read something to us? And I don't know whether it kindles childhood memories or not, but again, I just try and let myself go and play the part, put on the voices. And again, I hope it just encourages them to see reading as a very positive, enjoyable experience.
So, what are some of the books or series you've read together? Have you read C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, anything like that?
They've read, the more popular Christian books themselves. I tend to pick things that, maybe are a wee bit more difficult to read, some of the biographies, maybe some of the older books
Okay.
that are not written in such a modern style, maybe some of the stories that are not so well known. Somebody gave me a huge batch of kids' books many years ago that were, they're all out of print now. Nobody would know the names of them. They're quite short stories and they're a wee bit different to what's around today. And I tend to go through some of these, some missionary biographies as well. And the books maybe they wouldn't read naturally, wouldn't be drawn to, I now try and make my focus.
I'm trying to think back of to the books we've read as a family, and I know we way when the kids were quite young, we read the whole Little House on the Prairie series, which they really enjoyed, and we read the Narnia series, and then we read The Hobbit and read Lord of the Rings together. We tend to do a lot more reading in the winter than in the summer. The days are colder and shorter in the summer. They like to go outside in the evenings, but in the winter we do spend a lot of time reading, and lots of good memories there, I think, and hope for the kids. Now, okay, so that's reading. I want to talk a little bit as well about getting our kids to do devotions, because as we push reading upon them, I think we want to push as well the importance of prioritizing reading scripture. Not necessarily saying there has to be, you can't read an hour worth of a book until you've read an hour worth of scripture, but at least to show them that as they grow in reading, this gives them the ability to read about or to read the Word of God. That's the most important thing of all. So, how do you get your kids to start personal devotions? Is that something you've really emphasized?
Yeah, I have from quite an early age, and usually just started with one verse, two verses. Sometimes I've just to get them started, I've written out a little timetable, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever, with the reading, Matthew 12, verse 1 to 2, next day, and so on. But what I found is that they do get into that habit, and I don't. Sometimes I need to push them again and write out and kickstart the process. But what I found most important is not, right, do this or here's the plan, but follow up with them. So, and I felt a bit convicted about this recently that I've got out of the habit, but my ideal is at, say, breakfast time or supper time or, just when we sit down as a family, what did you read this morning, I would ask? Or what did you read this evening? Just to make sure they're not just, right, I've done my, 10 verses and prayed for 1 minute and it's over, but that they actually know they're going to be called to give a little explanation or what they've learned and what's going to change in their life as a result of it. So I think to get them to read is good, but to follow up in a more pastoral, concerned way is the key.
I found as well that when you're dealing with younger children, if you don't do the follow-up, they probably will stop doing it altogether. And it's not necessarily malice on their part, they just
No,
forget. Until,
I
for
know.
me, I've been doing personal devotions for decades, so it's quite a natural habit now. For them, it's very easy for them to just to forget it. And so, yeah, I've done a very poor job as a father following up with them about that. And that's been something I've been convicted of lately, and something I know I need to do better is just make sure they're actually doing them. And recently we had Mike Bullmore in town here to do a conference, and this question came up to him, and I really appreciated his answer. And actually his wife met with some of the ladies of the church and talked about the same thing, and that with their children, at some point they give each of their children a journal and try to make it into a bit of an occasion. Here's your journal. This is a big event in your life. And then they ask their kids every day to read the Bible. They'll assign them a passage, and then they ask them to write down one sentence about them and one sentence about God based on the passage they've read. And I thought that was a very good way of just giving them a very natural bridge into the passage, and just at least a way of drawing out just a little bit of application, a way of looking for certain things within the verse. And I found not too long ago I started just jotting notes as well as I read, which is something fairly new to me. And as I read each section, I take just a few notes, something I want to pray for from that. So something that's triggered, something in my life I need to do, and something that somehow draws a little bit of application, something I need to pray for others. So I think there's real value in writing what we've learned from the scripture as well. So that's something I've been trying to emphasize with my children as well.
Have you seen these new books published by RHB, the Journables?
I have, yeah,
Did you think of that
journables.
idea that you actually
Yeah.
write down the scriptures in this, set book and build up, not just the scripture, but little comments beside it?
Right, that's journable,
Yeah, a
right?
mixture between journal and Bible. It's
Right.
based, I suppose, on the Deuteronomy idea of the king writing out the scriptures before he began ruling.
Right. Right, yeah, I've seen those. I've actually got one of them here, and I think it's quite an effective format, just to give you the structure for what to write down and where to write it. So I'll throw a link on that to that on my website so people can check them out. But I think it's quite a good idea for people who operate in that way. And everybody does their devotions
That's right.
differently. And I think it's
Different.
important to let your kids know they can personalize it and make it fit them as long as they've got the proper components in place. They're spending time with the Lord. I think it's important to let them modify it and to find something that really draws them to the Word and draws their hearts to the Lord.
Yeah, I was encouraged recently. One of my sons asked me for a commentary. Dad, can I have a commentary on what I'm reading? Because he was
Wow.
struggling. And that's quite challenging to find a commentary that will be brief enough that they can still cover a reasonable amount of scripture and yet give them a decent explanation. And when I looked into it, the ones I found best were published by Day One. They have quite thin books on each of the books of the Bible.
Right.
That you could really maybe get a chapter in 2 or 3 pages, and yet it's not shallow. It really is giving good explanations. I would recommend these for parents if, say, their children were in the early teens, mid-teens, and beginning just to look for a bit more depth.
Yeah, those are the opening up series, I
That's
believe,
right.
right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good series of commentaries. And I know Nancy Gans has written some commentaries for kids as well that are quite good. Again, they're not really in tiny little chunks like that, but
No, they're not.
they're
No.
still useful for reading for younger people, at least. They're based on lessons she taught to people in that age group. So those are useful as well.
Would you recommend these sort of daily readings for kids, Tim? Have you ever used them?
Do you mean devotionals targeted at
Yeah.
kids?
Sort of read 2 verses and then there's a page of, devotional material on them.
You know, we found one of those for our children. I want to say it was published by the Good Book Company out of England there. And I believe we found it quite useful, and my son enjoyed going through it. Just gave
Okay.
him pointers. That was when he was quite young. I certainly don't have anything against them as long as they're well done and with a, you know, from a good theological perspective. I don't want the Bible reading to be a game, you know, where he's
I
doing word
know.
searches to pull out the
Okay,
value. I want
okay.
him to be reading the word. But I do think if you can put it in an attractive format that appeals to kids, I don't know that there's anything innately wrong with that. Again, as much as anything, it needs to become a habit. So if for a year or two he needs to rely on a book that will draw him in, then hopefully it'll become a habit in his life and he can build upon that.
Yeah, I know. I think as well the to model Bible study, say when we do our family devotions, when I read a chapter, say, or part of a chapter, depending on the length, we don't just close the Bible and go to prayer, but try and ask some factual questions, especially to the younger kids, what did Moses say here or something? And then maybe some application questions to the older ones. So, how would we, what difference would this make to our daily life in this setting? And I think if we do that as well, hopefully as they, read on their own, they are sort of beginning to get into that mindset as well of questioning scripture.
And that's something I've been trying to do and sometimes haven't done. And just a few days ago, my daughter called me on that. We were reading out of 1 Samuel. And, you know, it's stories, but if you don't make the application, the children can quite easily miss the meaning. And so we finished reading, and I closed the Bible, and she said, "Dad, why does this matter?" And I thought, no, that's a great question. So let's talk. So we talked and drew out some application from just a simple story about Saul chasing down David. So it was very good, I think. I was glad she reminded me to not just make it reading the Bible as if it's something I need to check off a list, but to make it a time of teaching and application and just growing in God's Word together. So we started with modeling reading as an important way of helping your kids become readers. So maybe it seems apropos that we'd end with modeling scripture reading and prayer through devotions and even just through, I remember as a child, anytime I came down early in the morning, I'd find my mom and dad sitting in there
I know.
somewhere downstairs, each with a Bible on their lap, each lost in prayer. And I think it was so important for me to see them prioritize
It's
what was most
powerful, yeah.
important to them.
Yeah, it's a powerful example, Tim, isn't it? It's unforgettable, really.
It is. It is, and I'm very grateful for the legacy my parents gave to all of us, their five kids, that we were able to see their love of Scripture, both through their private devotions, through their family devotions, and through their love of reading, a love that I think each of us kids developed through just through their model, at least in part. So,
Just one last question, Tim, before you go. Do you actually go through a regular reading plan in your family devotions?
We do not go through a plan in our devotions. We go through books. And so far, we've largely stuck with the narrative passages. We've read Gospels and Acts, and we've read much of the Old Testament. As the kids get a little older, we'll get more into the didactic, more into Paul's letters. I don't ever anticipate reading Ezekiel or things like that. That might be a little too much in a family setting. But yeah, we really try and for now stick with the stories, but again, try to make them relevant to the kids and show them why those things matter.
Yeah, we go through the Old Testament and the New, one in the morning, one in the evening, but we always, on a Sunday night, the passage we always take is the one that was preached on in church.
Ah, right.
And we find that very helpful, just reinforcing what was preached. And for me, if I've been preaching, it's usually quite humbling to see what they did get and what they didn't and what they confused. So, yeah, that's a good sanctification as well for me.
Good. That's a great tip there. Now, are you preaching this Sunday?
This is my first Sunday off for, I don't know, about 3 months. And it's my first Sunday. It's the only Sunday but the next 3 months as well. So I'm looking forward to worshiping in the pew with my family.
Good. So am I. I'm actually preaching the week after on the 15th, I believe. It'll be the first time I've preached at my own church in a morning service. So
I'm the
backup to the backup to the backup, I think. And everybody else is on vacation. So I think they handed me the ball and said, just try not to mess this up. So
okay, I'm sure you won't.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good. David, thanks again, as always. And if you listen to the podcast and you've got questions, send them along. We do want to make this a responsive kind of podcast where we can answer your questions and hopefully just show how David and I try to live out this Christian life for God's glory. So David, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Tim. Bye.
Sit alone in a blue cafe, and I'm watching all the passerbys pass my way.